the meeting. Thank you.
Good to see you virtually.
I'm happy to see you also. This COVID, how is it on that side?
Hi, doing the best that you can, staying at home. You know, that's the best we can do at the time.
Okay.
And site work.
Hi, man, it's tough on our side, man.
Where are you, in the Eastern Cape?
No, I'm at home. It's also bad.
Yeah. In Cape Town.
You are in Cape?
Cape Town.
Yeah, I know. Otherwise, you need to be out of the country.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you are here, my dear.
They call it the Republic.
The federal province. The federal province.
I must want to have, hey.
Hey, man, we are under pressure, man. We need to finalize this thing. It's a long time now.
It has almost do its work.
Yeah, man. And are you aware there's another a member who have resigned there?
Oban.
Whip.
Hi, my dear.
You must not speak. The candidate is in here.
Hi, when? How very good, when?
She's so very good. I can't believe it.
Okay.
So very good. I'm not sure. Umulal.
Hi. How is Eastern Cape, Pat?
Fagu.
Oh, now come have a whip. Deputy whip.
Hey, when I Fagu, the technology is not on.
My deputy.
Ungazondika wena Fagu.
Ufuna ukubanda amathethe nawe.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, man, long time no see. I'm fine, and how are you?
Yeah, I can only see Van Damme's gap there. I don't see anything.
Myself and her, we are the same. We are swimming on the same boat.
Yeah, I can see there's a goalkeeper needed there.
Both of us, we are swimming on the same boat.
We need a goalkeeper there.
Hi, man. I missed you guys.
Hi, man. How is Honorable Mackenzie Pumzi?
He's much better. He should be joining this meeting if he isn't already on.
Yeah.
He's much better.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, I think he can use his arm now. Let me ask him. He said he's supposed to be on. Maybe he's still coming.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, my Scottish friend. Hello,
how are
my
you?
Scottish friend.
Missed you all very much. Very, very much.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man.
But no, it's... See.
Where is coming? Yeah, not, not, not
yeah, it's coming, it's coming.
It's coming.
It's healed, man. It's not coming. It's all right.
No, it's still very sore.
Number one,
thank you so much. You. Where is that?
Yeah.
Hi.
Where is our little doctor?
No, they wanted my watch, but they didn't get it.
Your watch, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
The material gains, did you see? What dangerous are.
Mackenzie!
Yeah, boom, Njana.
How is COVID-19 there?
I'm staying at home, so I can't tell you. It's all outside of this four walls. But remember, I've been in lockdown.
Oh, you've been in lockdown long before the actual lockdown.
Yeah, since January. So I'm a bit crazy already.
He knew what was coming. He didn't tell us.
It's lovely to see you all, man. I missed you.
Yeah, we are happy, man. God is great anyway. All of us, we are still here.
And please look after yourselves. Please.
Honorable. Indeed.
And you must tell Van Damme to stay home.
Somebody chase those people.
No shopping in the mall, please.
I thought that he tell our new acting minister that.
Yes, in a way.
I think as we know.
I'm told you are joking every morning. Watch out.
Yeah. And did you see there were more than 6,000 there?
And Van Damme was there joking as well.
He was part of those people who were
crazy.
Afternoon, members. Just waiting the busy assistant, the chair with the connection. You can carry on with your conversation and test the system, but just know that we also, this is an open meeting. So we have also members of the public who are currently joined in. So I thought that I should just make you aware. But the chairperson will be joining us shortly, as soon as he does, and then we will begin the meeting.
Because you must allow the members of public to come in once the chairperson is in, then the meeting is on. Now you are taking our conversation to the public.
Remember, honorable member, usually the captain of the boat is the last one to get in. So hence the members of the public are also here. So we can't allow them to get in at the captain. Yes,
hey, you can imagine them because we were still gossiping, you know?
Yes.
it's good to see you, especially you. It's good to see you, my friend. It's good to see you.
No, it's good, man, Honorable McKenzie. We are happy that you are back on track now. You must bring that old research. where is it? Where is your laptop? I needed to steal your laptop.
I think we're going to be meeting like this for a long time yet. For a good couple of months yet.
Wow, serious.
But just, you know, this is one time, colleagues. I say to you, please, you know, as politicians, I think we are very unselfish and we always put community first and people first. You know, in our desire to serve. But this is one time I think you need to put yourself first, you know, and take care of your health first, because you do nobody any good to get ill.
Yeah.
But I see, Honorable Kubeka, that very impressive cabinet you've got behind you there. I want to see what's in it. I think I see a bottle there.
The what? You see, what's in that cabinet?
I think I see some bottles there that happened.
It
looks like a bottle of whiskey there.
As a Santa Claus.
No. It's Kappa cheese. Kappa cheese. Yeah,
me too.
Honorable Mackenzie. It's only this.
I'm coming to where you are. Sesselberg, I'm coming now. I'm just going to get my permit. I'm on my way.
No, it's only cups. And
No, I can see things this size. 750 mils, I can see.
No, there's nothing like that.
You keep the camera this side.
This side. Yo, Nkosiyami. Yeah, it's tough. No, that big house is closed.
Yeah. Where's the chair?
It seems as if he's struggling with the network. In such a big province, Gauteng.
Anyway, Van Damme will chair for us if he's not here.
Okay. she will be the queen of the day.
Did she hear me?
She's not here. Why? It's Vianney. Vianney, who's Vianney?
That's good she's not here. Otherwise, you know her. She would have taken it.
Honorable members, Pambo is Vuyani Pambo from the EFF. Thank you.
Oh.
Where's our Leonard's doctor?
Honorable Ndozi.
Where is our doctor?
You can ask it again. Tembi Nkosi needed to tell us where is our honorable doctor.
Where is our Leonard friend?
He can hear you, honorable members.
Oh, I see him is on.
Hello, Chairperson. Hello, Chair.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Chair, I can hear you. I hope that everyone can hear you. Good afternoon, Chair. Chairperson, just to provide you a quick update, we have 6 of the 7 members. Ms. Jones has been booked off sick. She was discharged from hospital on Sunday. Hence, she will not be able to join us. We have Ms. Kubeka, Mr. Mulala, Ms. Faku, Ms. Van Dam, Ms. Dr. Ndlozi as the members of the subcommittee on ICASA. And we have Mr. Pambo, Vuyani Pambo from the EFF. We have Mr. Gumbo that will be joining in just to observe these proceedings. So that's the only apology that we have for the meeting. Otherwise, all the members are here. We do have a number of our stakeholders that are also in attendance. And we do. The candidate is also ready, but I haven't really. I'm going to invite her as soon as I'm directed by the committee. So I thought that I should just provide with that update as you just joined in. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Tembikosi. I must say my apologies because I struggled to get linked up. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yes, Chair. I hope that other members can hear you, but from on my side, I hear you well.
Honorable members, do you hear me?
Yes, you are clear, Chair.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. All right, thank you, Honorable Mackenzie. May I just firstly apologize that I think there's been a problem with compatibility and the settings on the gadget. But the link that I asked for at least has helped me to get through. My apologies for starting with that. I take it that just to place it on record, you said Honorable Kubeka is here?
Yes, Chairperson.
Honorable Faku, Honorable Majos, you said there's an apology.
Yes, it's just it's only Honorable Majos that has sent an apology, Chair.
Okay, and all other members are in, including Dr. Tendos.
Yes, Chairperson.
No, thanks for that. I'm sure when you are ready, you'll indicate that we are changing the country. May I just take first the opportunity to thank members for responding. Since the number is quite an important number. If one was to just start by saying this meeting is as a result of a request we have made to Parliament that we complete the process that relates to ICASA, as well as the challenges that have been in ICASA at this point in time. I did hear honorable members talking before we started the meeting that we also have even resignations at this point in time. So it's important that we complete this process. And I'm sure that given the time allocated to the committee, honorable members will bear me out on this one, that we may not have enough time to have a discussion immediately after the interview. And that will then be covered in the program to also allow discussions amongst members. If that is clarified and understood by members, I think we should be ready to take the last candidate that we have, which is Ms. Unke Nyana Mokele. I take it that's the candidate. Am I audible enough?
Yes, Chair, you are audible enough.
Yes, as I said,
Nyana Mokele. Ms. Mutanyana Mokan.
Yes, so I'm correct. So I'm just saying that we therefore have to manage the time. The time allocation is still the same, the 45 minutes, if we can be done with that, because there will be another meeting that deals with the MTTA board. Ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
No, thanks, Ms. Kunjana Mukele. I'm pronouncing it properly.
It's Mukele, but it's fine.
Yes, Mukele. This is a subcommittee of the Portfolio Committee on Communications, which is appointed in terms of Rule 229 of the National Assembly Rules, which allows portfolio committees to have subcommittees. And the subcommittee we have been tasked with the appointment process for ICASA, which is as a result of vacancies that would have occurred, one which was immediate, and the four that would have been notified to us that they would be coming to an end. So you are the last candidate to interview because of sick notes were received from you and notifications on why you're not available. We thank you for still being available to see the subcommittee. We'll now... yes, can you hear?
I was wondering, because I'm in an area where the network is bad, can I switch off the camera?
Yes, we will still be able to hear you. We will still be able to hear you. But I think I'll just ask two members whether they would be comfortable with that, because sometimes also seeing is believing, that you are still talking to the same person. But may I just check, members, I think what's important is to hear the candidate. Would you have a problem if the camera is off? Honorable members?
Hi, Chair.
Can you hear me?
Chair, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, Honorable Faku, you can speak. You want to assist?
No, Chair. Thanks, Chair. I wanted to propose that the candidate stays online because we would want to see. I think it would be unfair unless there's technical problems. For now, let us keep it the way that we have it.
No, that's fine.
Okay, if that's fine, we can then proceed. As we proceed, maybe, as I said, please feel welcome and we have an interaction with you. We have been forwarded a presentation from yourself, but it will still be flighted, as I know. But in terms of how we want to proceed, like we did with all candidates, is that we will have the members speaking after you've presented. The presentation would be 10 minutes, and thereafter we'll give 5 minutes to each member. The 5 minutes include the questions that the members would ask you, as well as your responses in the 5 minutes, so that we are able to complete within the 45 minutes. In the 10 minutes of your presentation, you will also use it as an opportunity to introduce yourself properly to members in whatever way possible within the 10 minutes, as well as presenting to the members on the item that you've chosen from what was given by the secretarial support for you to choose from. So that's the proceeding for today. The members have already been introduced on the basis of them being present. But for record, just to say that we are 7 members. We do have Honorable Kubeka present. We have Honorable Faku present. We have Honorable Mokala present. Honorable Dr. Ndozi, Honorable Fandam, and Honorable Manini, which is me as the chair. We do have an apology from Honorable Majosi, but with the numbers we have been able to proceed even before, so it won't be new. We'll proceed on those bases. If Ms. Muhele is ready, we'll then give you...
Okay, thank you, members. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be interviewed even after the fact. Thank you for your understanding of my medical condition. My name is Councillor Botlenyana Mokgele. I'm one of the outgoing members of the ICASA Council. I've been in the ICT sector since 1994. I initially started as a part-time researcher. I then joined the then IBA as a monitoring officer. I joined ICASA as in middle management as manager researcher, and now as a member of council. My experience is very vast, but it is mainly in broadcasting. But with the recent developments in ICASA, I've had to deal with competition issues quite a bit. So most of the projects that I have dealt with at this point in time for the past 4 years have been of a competition nature, but I've also been able to marry the competition aspects with my pet, if I can use the term, pet issue, which is to ensure that whatever regulation that happens, it is to benefit consumers. So most of the projects that I have been dealing with have benefited consumers. So I will, without further ado, I will move on to the presentation.
Yes, we'll proceed.
Okay. And as I've indicated, I'm an outgoing ICASA council member. And my presentation would come from that perspective. It would be more pragmatic than having to talk to the actual academic framework that is outlined in the ITU. I think it's common course that most of the issues that are in the telecommunications handbook are what regulators have to deal with. I've opted to deal with question two, which is to provide an analysis of where South Africa is in relation to converged regulation versus single regulation. This will then be followed by issues around dimensions of regulatory effectiveness and regulatory structures and self versus core regulations. As I've indicated, I've taken a very pragmatic view. Instead of sticking to what the ITU regulatory handbook would be talking to, I've actually highlighted most of the issues that ICASA as a regulator within the framework that's provided by ITU have to grapple with. So my presentation will commence with the status quo. There are a few slides which I will fly through. It provides the status quo in as far as the telecommunications sector is concerned, because I find that recently the focus has been on telecoms. There hasn't been much in broadcasting, and there hasn't been much done by ICASA in postal as such. The idea is for this to set a tone in terms of how South Africa fares in relation to what the benchmark, the ITU telecommunications handbook provides us. And you'll find that this has actually driven the work that ICASA has done in the past four years. My presentation will cover a sector overview and recent retail tariffs. This will then be followed by a discussion on ICASA vis-a-vis benchmark on institutional structures. Under dimensions of regulatory effectiveness, I've sought to highlight challenges that ICASA must meet in terms of
how do I put it, in terms of an effective regulator, because as a regulator, you don't live somewhere out there. You have to deal with everything that you're currently faced with in your environment. I will then conclude on self-regulations versus co-regulation. In terms of the overview, I think it's common because this is something that everyone has been talking about, that the market is dominated by the mobile market, and it's MTN and Vodacom. And from the ICT handbook that ICASA published this year, it shows that MTN and Vodacom continue to dominate the market, with them taking 80% of the mobile subscribers, and even more when it comes to revenue. This report, for instance, shows that the mobile revenue is at 98 billion. The figures that Vodacom published in 2019 shows that 74.2 of that billions of those billions belong to them. The figures that MTN published in March 2020 this year indicate that 8.96 actually belongs to them. In terms of the fixed market, Telkom dominates the market and occupies about 80%, likewise to Vodacom and MTN. It occupies 80% of the market share. We found that because the way that competition has been dealt with South Africa is infrastructure based, it has actually led to growth in terms of coverage. We have amongst the highest levels of mobile penetration in Africa. For instance, with 2G, we 99%, 3G, we 98%, and 4G, we 70%. And we know that voice revenue is declining, and this is due to the fact that people are now moving more towards data usage. In fact, we found that through ICASA's intervention, there's been a 90% reduction in mobile wholesale termination rates since 2009, to the extent that termination rates used to be 3 cents per minute. It is now 50 cents per minute. And we find that also data has grown more than, mobile data has grown more than fixed data penetration has grown. And however, we find that mobile data prices are very high, but not as high as they are actually made out to be. Because I just think that you need to be able to compare apples with apples. And because of the coverage that we have in South Africa, our prices tend to appear to be higher than our benchmark countries in Africa and also in the BRICS countries. In terms of recent tariff developments, I've chosen to include 4 slides, which I will also fly through, just to indicate how much ICASA is focused on consumer well-being. This analysis we do on a bi-yearly basis, which means that we publish two reports as ICASA, and this is in terms of Section 2M of the ECA, which is about ensuring price transparency. The idea is to enable customers to be able to make informed choices in terms of the plans that they go to. But at the same time, because it provides for customer choice, it does stimulate competition in the market to a certain extent without ICASA even being intervening from a regulatory point of view. We found that, for instance, licensees have introduced various promotions, which has led to reduction of rates. The only issue with this is that, firstly, this is a temporary measure. It's something that they implement in order to give themselves a competitive edge over
their counterparts. So to for ICASA's regulation to be effective, it has to be structural. It has to be ICASA that determines what the termination rates should be, and by default, what the targets should be. But at this point in time, there has been some reprieve that's been received. We've also noticed that the operators have been in talks with the Competition Commission in terms of how they are going to reduce the retail prices. However, I don't know whether it's because of the COVID-19 situation. These have not been filed with the regulator as yet. So my presentation will focus on those that have been filed already. But I think the point that I'm trying to be made to make remains regardless of the amounts that I will be mentioning. For instance, when it comes to standard voice plans, Cell C remains the lowest in terms of the pricing. It's followed by Vodacom, and then the rest will follow. But like I said, because these things are promotions more than anything else, it's not an indication of anything except an operator choosing to price in a certain way to get a competitive edge over their counterparts. The same applies to out-of-bundle rates. Vodacom and MTN, I think it was in 2018, they decreased their respective prepaid out-of-bundle data rates. As we know, the common narrative is that out-of-bundle rates are very expensive. They were 99 rand to 49 rand, and both have decreased it. But Cell C and Telkom found that in terms of their business model, this really doesn't count. And the fact that it's not regulated as yet, it leaves up to the operator to be able to choose when to include the out-of-bundle rate. I think the point that should be gleaned from these slides, including this one that I'm just indicating now, is that firstly, most of the price reductions that we see there are voluntary. And they are temporary because they are not legislated as yet. And secondly, the out-of-bundle rates are still very, very high. And thirdly, the main complaint that everyone has been raising still remains, in the sense that out-of-bundle rates are still very high. Now I'm going to move on to the crux of what the presentation is about, is a converged regulation versus single sector regulation. In accordance to the ITU handbook, single sector regulators' function is to oversee a certain aspect of the telecommunications, of the ICT market, whether it's telecommunications, whether it's broadcasting, or whether it's postal. Whereas in contrast, a converged regulator deals with all three of them, which means that you would find under one umbrella competencies that deals with radio communications, broadcasting and media, and postal services as well. And I would move that ICASA is an apt example of a regulator that is converged, and this is even so obvious in terms of the legislation that established ICASA. If we recall, ICASA was established in terms of Section 190 of the Constitution, which is mandated ICASA to regulate electronic communications, broadcasting, and postal services in the public interest, and the empowering legislation in this regard speaks to the various aspects. For instance, we have the ICASA Act that talks to the structural aspects of how ICASA operates, the ECA that deals with the various sectors that ICASA has to regulate, the Broadcasting Act that deals with specific aspects that were not covered in the ECA Act that are broadcasting related. The same applies to Postal Services Act and the ECA Act. And just to indicate that as a converged regulator, the responsibilities that ICASA has to deal with are actually quite vast, in the sense that all these other sectors fall under ICASA. So the idea is that you have commonalities between the three sectors that ICASA must deal with. But in terms of expertise, you will need to have somebody that has an expertise in broadcasting. You will need to have somebody that has an expertise in telecoms and postal services likewise. So the roles and responsibilities of ICASA are to develop license conditions and issue license, to manage scarce resources such as numbering and spectrum, to deal with compliance, monitoring, and enforcement, to deal with market reviews and regulations, and more importantly, which is the topic of these days, to deal with tariffs and price regulations. But more importantly, because regulation is broader than just a regulator telling people what to do, is to set rules, guidelines, and codes so that everyone in the environment understands how the regulator works and can act accordingly. Now, having said that ICASA is an apt converged regulator, this speaks to the ITU benchmark in terms of independence, what I've just I outlined. In terms of independent reporting structures, we report directly to Parliament through the Minister of Communications. In terms of financing, we are financially independent. In terms of management, we have different roles and responsibilities. The Council of ICASA, if I can use the term, is almost like a board. However, it's a regulatory board in the sense that we also license, we also pass regulations, and we also then deal with governance issues. And in our dealing with governance issues, we are assisted by various governance or committees. For instance, the one that deals with remuneration, the one that deals with risk, and the like. Now, I'm moving on to regulatory effectiveness. If you look at the... Hello?
I'm saying do that in the 2 minutes we have given extra 2 minutes.
Oh, I've only got extra 2 minutes. Okay, no. I wanted to say, like, in terms of regulatory effectiveness, all the things that I have mentioned is that the long and short of it, effective policies, laws, infrastructure, institutional arrangements are crucial to ensure that ICASA as a regulator is both able to regulate broadly and to be able to deal with the market, but to ensure that consumer needs are met. And what it means is that all that needs to be ensured is that pricing is fair and that there's effective competition, that we're able to effectively maintain public trust, that in terms of fake news, people are able to express themselves without us over-regulating the internet, but also people are aware of the environment that they're operating in, so that as you deal with a new era of digital COVID cases, people are able to actively participate. The regulator cannot be everywhere. The regulator cannot tell people what to do. And I've just highlighted some of the projects that ICASA have been able to effectively implement because of the way that we are dimensioned. The one is the cost to communicate. And the cost to communicate, I think we are all aware, is made out of four subsections, starting with the end user subscriber regulation, ending up with the spectrum assignment. But there are also other projects that I think have come to play second base, which are just as important. There was an ETV license and amendment. There was a community broadcasting review. There was a subscription broadcasting review. And there's also this approach that ICASA has taken to collaborate with other regulators. We've collaborated with the Consumer Commission, if I can just recall, when we were dealing with the end user subscriber charter regulation. However, we ended up having to stick to the letter of the law as outlined by the ECA, and we weren't able to assist the Consumer Commission to be able to meet Section 3 of their legislation. However, we also have issues around the litigious sector, and I understand that it's well within the right and it's the way in which the environment is structured. However, the litigious sector makes it very difficult for the regulator to be able to regulate. And I would dread the day that normal courts are able to take over our function, because our function requires specialist skills and an understanding of what the country needs to achieve in terms of national goals and in terms of the national policies. And I'd also like to quote the COVID-19 measures, how we've been able to deal with it. It's also an indication of how effective ICASA is. We've been able to promulgate regulations. We've been able to provide spectrum relief. We've been able to provide spectrum license relief. And we've been able to relax some of the requirements that we needed for broadcasting in order to, all in the interest of ensuring that the consumer needs are met and that we are able to respond to the national disaster. I'm concluding. I'm concluding. So I think the issue is about self-regulation versus co-regulation. And I think the most important thing in this slide is that I've spoken about having a clear vision, broad strategies being aligned to national policy objectives. But regulation is a continuum. It passes from self-regulation to co-regulation and to also pure regulation. I would say that co-regulation is good in the sense that it facilitates transparency. It ensures that consumers and citizens are able to buy in. However, you also need pure regulation to be able to give direction, to be able to ensure that whatever regulations that you pass do not deviate from what the national goals are. There is a reason why you would have national goals and you would have national policy objectives. And I think that's where I will end. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, you've received the presentation, but you also had an opportunity to read the presentation. May I then invite members to ask questions, as I said, in the 5 minutes, it's question and also giving the candidate the opportunity to respond. I will, without waste of time, start with Honorable Faku, if you have questions first. Honorable Faku, can you hear me? Honorable Fab.
Hello, Chair, can you hear me?
We are still trying to get back. Honorable Fagu,
can you hear?
That's your opportunity to ask the question in the 5 minutes.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, I can hear you clearly. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you to the council member. One of the things that I would not want to dwell much on your presentation, since you have been with in the ITC sector since 1994, one of the concerns that we have is the issue of transformation. In your tenure as a council member and during 1994 up to now, have you seen any transformation in the sector? But also as a ICASA council member, what are the measures that you and your board have made to make sure that there is transformation in the sector? And given that you've been with ICASA for some time, what are the things that you think, if given an opportunity to come back again, what can you correct? My last question would be with regards to the issue of the spectrum. As ICASA, you have been saying that you will put out the spectrum out there up to date. There has not been any sign. I don't know because I think you have put the 1st of November. That did not happen. If you can just take us through that. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Over to you, Mukher.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think that in the past 30 odd years, the level of transformation would have been as it was in 1994. 1994 was a seminal period in terms of the history of our country, in the sense that for the first time, we've had Black people being involved in the sector in a way that was unforeseen. You know, and we were able to lead consortiums, we were able to get licenses, we were even able, and I can talk to the broadcasting sector, we were even able to bring transformation in the broadcasting sector itself by being able to bring diversity. There was a diversity of voices, there was a diversity of licensees, and it was really something that was unprecedented. However, in the past 30 years, what ICASA has worked is maintaining that kind of transformation. I think we are about to enter a new level as we are busy with the IMT licensing process. We should be able to get a new entrant. And in the process of getting a new entrant, we should actually emphasize the need for transformation. We need to ensure that whoever participates in the new entrant, the new IMT licensing process, is somebody that is able to transform the sector to the extent that the green fields, which I really like referring to, people like Kaya FM, YFM, and the like, have been able to transform, and in this time around, be able to transform the telecommunication sector. So I think what ICASA has done is that in line with the regulations and in line with the legislation that we have, we've maintained that momentum. We've been able to ensure that we're able to, at least I can speak in terms of the broadcasting sector, are able to get diversity of voices, we are able to get diversity of content. And also in our last preoccupation, if I can use the term, which is competition, is to ensure that, you know, economics don't subsume issues of consumer satisfaction. They don't subsume issues of transformation. And in terms of one of the projects that I said have been sort of overshadowed by the cost to communicate program is the licensing, the review of the community broadcasting. The way that it's been reviewed, it is in such a way that issues that have been plaguing the sector are being dealt with. And as we license, we're able to license people that are able to sustain and thrive in the market. And I would say that that is, has been my contribution as a chairperson of the of that committee. And as we are aware, there was a moratorium that was placed to ensure that there's orderly licensing. And that moratorium has been lifted. And there has since been an extension because of the COVID disaster period as well. What was the other issue again? Oh, then there's the issue of spectrum. I think what we're not really aware of is what is happening behind the scenes in terms of spectrum. It's quite an evolved process this time around, especially in terms of the methodology that ICASA has opted for. In the sense that there has to be an economic analysis that is done. And in addition to that, there has to be a setting of the reserve price. There has to be appointment of certain expertise in as far as the licensing process is concerned. And I would move to say that the November date that was given was to indicate the commencement of the process itself by the publication of the information memorandum. There were plans to have, by this time, to be dealing with the analysis of the responses that we received so that we could start with the licensing process. However, we are unable to do so because of the COVID restrictions. However, what I can say is that there's quite a lot of work that's been done behind closed doors. There's economic analysis, there's appointment of expertise, there's ensuring that by the time that it's all systems go, we are able to start the licensing process. The licensing process this time around is going to be very involved because for the first time in the country, we'll be auctioning. We're using auctioning as a licensing process instead of having a normal licensing process. The only thing, as you've highlighted, is that one of the things that we have to use in terms of our experience as the regulators to ensure that as we proceed with this process, transformation is not lost along the way. Thank you.
Honorable Falk has been answered. May I just caution again with regard to time, that the 5 minutes includes questions and the answers, and I know there may be temptation to elaborate more. Please, as I give to Honorable Falk, you are covered on the questions you've asked, right? Both of them are answered. Do you hear me?
They were answered. They were answered, Chair, but yeah, they were answered.
Okay.
But I have my reservations on the responses, but because of time, I will allow that to go forward. Thank you.
May I then invite Honorable Fintan, if she has got questions to ask?
Thanks, Chair. Thank you, Ms. Pontlenyana, for making yourself available. So I've got 5 minutes, so I'm going to need you to be quite, we're going to have a conversation, so I'm going to need you to answer my questions quite quickly, so sharp and to the point. In your presentation, you said something about the sector being very litigious, and you prefer that when they were not so litigious because you don't want the courts running ICASA. Could you just explain to me very briefly what you mean by that?
There's a project that we started in 2018, End User Subscriber Charter. The intention was to make sure that data doesn't disappear. And the intention
okay,
so, was...
Sorry, I don't want to have to stop you. I don't really need the background. That comment is very broad, right? What do you mean by saying that the sector is very litigious and that you do not, you'd prefer that they were not, and you don't want the courts running your processes? Sorry, we've got 5 minutes. I need you to be to the point.
Okay. The point is the sector tends to take issues to courts that they don't agree with. The decisions that we've taken that they don't agree with, and that drags on our processes, and we aren't able to achieve what we would have wanted in the periods that we had intended to.
Okay, so you would prefer a situation where they just accepted what was put before them? What is the alternative in your mind? Would you prefer that they didn't go to court, or if you publish something, they just take it and they implement it and there's no, you know, questioning of your decisions?
My take is because of the way that we work, there's ample time for people to give their responses and their whatever qualms that they might have. Why don't they use that process to be able to address their issues?
What do you understand?
Instead of waiting until the final process, because the final promulgation is based on inputs that they give.
What do you understand about the separation of powers?
Look, I do understand that it's well within their right.
What do you understand about the separation of powers?
That there should be separate powers between the courts, the regulator, the legislature, and so forth. So the idea of taking the ICASA's decisions to court is well within the rights of operators to do so. However, my take is that the processes that have been set ahead are sufficient such that people are able to raise issues that they have. I have found personally that issues of taking things to court is not so much reviewing decisions that ICASA has made, but to drag
okay,
on
so,
processes.
Okay, so what in a situation where, say, a court reviews your decision and it is different from what you had put on the table, would you, in that situation, because you see that as the court doing your job and you don't think, you know, they should be doing this at all because you guys make the decisions. So would you, so if a decision is taken on review and you don't agree with it, what recourse should you have? Because, you know, in your mind, the court shouldn't be involved in your decision-making. They shouldn't essentially be review because, you know, in your opinion, that isn't review.
not necessarily. I don't know. Maybe I came across as being very brusque. I think it also assists the regulator to ensure that whatever decision that we've taken is rational and it's acceptable. The only qualm that I have is when the court process is used to reverse decisions that talk to the bottom line of operations.
Okay, so the court should not be able to have...
So if the court reviews what we've taken, we will follow suit. We will follow the process to the T and we will take on board what the court has decided, which is what a regulator is expected to do in South Africa.
And the time for now. Thank you, Honorable Van Damme. I will now take Honorable Kubega. Honorable Kubega, can you hear me? Honorable Kubega, can you hear me? Honorable Kubega? Honorable Kubega, if you can get back to the meeting, let me then take Honorable Dr. Ndlozi, are you there?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going to shoot once and give the candidate an opportunity to respond. I've got three questions. The first one relates to what would be the role of ICASA should broadcasting expand to online? If radios and televisions were beginning predominantly to use the internet as the only space of broadcast, what would be the role of ICASA in your view? The second question is relates to the digital terrestrial television migration. I wanted to get a sense from the candidate, why shouldn't the SABC, seeing the failures of DTT, be allowed to play in the pay television market? And then the final question relates to the mass carry regulations. What are her views about the mass carry regulations and the ways in which they've impacted the industry? But also what she thinks should be the way forward in that regard. Should there be a retrospective punishment of something like DSTV or multi-choice, or we should just move on, and if so, how? Thank you. Those are all my questions.
Thank you, Dr. Okay.
Now, the questions that Dr. Ndlozi have asked are actually policy questions more than regulatory questions that ICASA as the regulator needs to be able to take direction from the policymaker in terms of how to approach the issues. The issue of online broadcasting, as it currently stands policy-wise, online broadcasting is not broadcasting. It is telecoms, and ICASA is not mandated to be able to deal with the content issues around such broadcasting until such time that a policy comes out and it redefines the definition of broadcasting. And I think it's timely that that needs to happen, in the sense that we find that there's quite a lot of online service providers that are somehow now impacting on traditional broadcasting. So that's what I would say. I would say ICASA does have a role. However, the role will be clearly defined in a new broadcasting policy, where broadcasting is defined broadly to include online broadcasting. In terms of DTT migration, SABC has a commercial arm, and the commercial arm is welcome to participate in the pay TV market should SABC have the funds to do so. However, we know that SABC is struggling as a corporation, and that's where I will leave it. In terms of the way that the law currently stands, SABC can participate in the pay TV market should it have the necessary skills and the necessary financial muscle to be able to get the kind of content that should enable it to be able to competitively participate in this sector. In terms of the mass carry regulations, I'm aware that ICASA is still working on this. I don't think, I don't know, you can't apply the law retrospectively. The intention was that mass carry should serve universal service. However, as we have seen, it did not. And I think we should await the outcome of this current process in terms of how we correct the situation. However, I don't think that DSTV should face any punitive measures. It's unprecedented. The law doesn't allow it.
I think that's the long and short of my responses.
In 1 minute, because I covered.
Yeah, that's fine, Chair. Okay.
That then takes me back to Honorable Kubeka. Are you back? Honorable Kubeka?
Yes. Yes, Chair. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes. Can hear me. Thank you very much. Yes, Chair. How are you, Member Utlenyana?
I've heard that I'm much better than I was last month.
Thank you for that under this COVID-19, Mme. Anyway, we know that it was because of your condition on the side of not managing to come to the interview. But I'm having just only three questions to you, Mme Utlenyana.
Okay.
Yes, I'm saying, what are the biggest disagreements or differences in approach between ICASA and the Competition Commission on data price regulation? The second question, Chair, is that in your view, Mme Utlenyana, what are the key pillars which must be in place in order for South Africa to exploit opportunities of the 4IR? Can you just mention it can be 4, it will be 5 on my side. And now the last question, Mme Utlenyana. One of the key objectives of the policy directives of high demand spectrum is to promote, to facilitate entry by new players into the market in order to deal with the duopoly structure of the market. Do you believe that the information memorandum published by ICASA facilitates entry by new players? If no, why not? If yes, how does it do so? Thank you, Chair.
Your questions are quite difficult. I will attempt to answer the questions. I think that the main difference in our post between us and the Competition Commission,
yeah,
in terms of dealing with the data prices, is that we as the authority are directed by Section 67 to follow certain procedures, and because of that, our procedures are very long and drawn out. We aren't able to implement the kind of approaches that the Competition Commission have been able to do. And one of the things that we've decided to do was to follow the process. And the first thing that we needed to do was to define the markets that we precisely are going to be intervening with. And then we highlighted the mobile broadband market. And in highlighting the mobile broadband market, we found, as we did our research, intervening at the retail sector would not actually bring about the structural changes that we would have wanted to. And I think the main difference is that because of the powers that the Competition Commission had, they could negotiate rates with operators. We can't do that. We have to go through the Section 67 process. We have to find out what the linkage is between the retail and the wholesale market for us to be able to determine the pricing. And we've opted to go to the long route because what we wanted to achieve was a long-term thing. And I just wanted to say that if you notice, there have been quite a lot of reductions in terms of the data prices from Vodacom, from MTN. However, because of the research that we've been doing, we're able to glean that such
such is achievable because it's voluntary, and operators have been doing that in any event. In terms of the 4IR, and I think that's my response in terms of the differences in approaches succinctly, is that we are directed by Section 67 of the ECA, and we have to follow a long drawn-out process. We can't be seen to be negotiating with operators. We have to firstly find out issues around the wholesale and the linkages between the wholesale and the retail, and then implement pro-competitive measures at the retail prices. Not, we can't short-circuit the whole process. We don't have those powers. The Competition Commission has those powers. In terms of the 4IR, and this is my personal point of view, I think the 4IR is nothing new. And I will tell you why I say so. It's because it covers things that we've always have been grappling with in the telecommunications and ICT sector. It's the issue of people, it's the issues of technology, it's the issues of knowledge. And in terms of how we move forward, we have to ensure that whatever is that we have in our disposal, we are able to carry everyone else with us. We are able to provide knowledge. And also, in terms of machines, we are able to provide applications and services that are relevant to South African sector, you know. And also, in terms of people, we should be able to have people come on board. The only opportunity that we have at this point in time is that we have younger people that are more knowledgeable, that have been to varsity, that can participate and enable us to be able to get these applications that are going to be relevant to us in terms of content and otherwise, and also are going to be able to assist people. For instance, I always talk about the load shedding. If we could have an app that my grandmother can understand around load shedding, then we would have achieved the 4IR. In terms of the duopoly, I'm going to be quite candid and say, because I'm not an expert in spectrum, I haven't delved into the details of the information memorandum. What I am aware of, as we were debating the issues in council, was to ensure that as we deal with market entry, we are able to increase the percentage that a transformed entity should be able to participate in the licensing process. So what it essentially does is that even if the duopoly, the so-called duopoly, is able to meet the requirements of the triple BEE, in terms of the new regulations, there's additional requirements around the fact that there should be a transformed entity participating in the process. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kubeka. I'll now take the Honorable Lisiba Malala.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Am I audible?
Yes, audible, honorable. Can continue.
Okay. Dumela mme Montlenyana
Mokgele. Ah, yes, tate.
Le kae mme?
Ke teng le kae?
Okay. I only have a few questions for you. Yeah, maybe just to start with a follow-up on Ndlozi's question. Canada has now developed a new model of ensuring that internet, for instance, is taxed in their country. Would you recommend that at a policy level, our government should consider that type of Canada's model in terms of ensuring that the internet and other online services have some responsibility in terms of local people? That's the first question. The second one, in your presentation, I have not heard you talking about the current challenges that you have except for litigation in ICASA. Could you elaborate a little bit on challenges and how you think they should be resolved in your own view? And then the last one, you also spoke about the development of local economies. And this is a very, I don't want to say subjective, because some people think a development of the economy is also the same as access. If people have access to the sector, automatically there's development of economies. Could you please highlight areas in your service for the last 5 years where you can specifically say this is how you have developed certain economies and give examples? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable.
Not having been fully aware of the development that Canada has taken in terms of online regulation. The only thing that I can say is that we do, I think the white paper on broadcasting is long overdue. It was done in 1998. And there's been quite a lot of development that has happened. And it's not so much the issue of content that you get on the internet, and that self-regulation has always been able to deal with, that codes and conduct have been always been able to do it. There's also an issue of competition, of people providing broadcast-like services. And I think the sooner the policy environment deals with the online regulation, the better. And then whatever model that comes out of our, sorry, I think I've lost the slide where I've typed the questions that have been asked. I'll stick to this issue. I'll ask the honourable member to repeat themselves, if not as a measure of disrespect. Okay, I found it.
Okay.
I think the sooner we deal with it, the better. We do need to deal with the way that we define the broadcasting at the moment, so that we are able to deal with other issues that cannot be addressed purely by codes of conduct and the like. And I think that's the issue that I think you can't be using a 1998 white paper on policy, whereas the telecommunication side has moved along. There's been quite a lot of other policy documents that are guiding us in terms of how we're supposed to be working. In terms of challenges, I've highlighted the litigious nature of the sector because of the outcome, because that's where it's visible. I think the cast of challenges are internal. Most of the time, we don't have resources. The length of period of councillors, the four-year period, is actually quite brief. Because if you look at the way that regulatory projects are structured, it's rather that as a councillor, you start a project, you do all the research, but by the time comes for you to promulgate the regulations, your term ends and somebody else comes and starts afresh. And not having the kind of background information that you would have. The second one has to do with resources. I know that we've been going ad nauseam about about resources, that sometimes it appears like we're not spending the money that we have. And it has precisely to deal with the cycle of regulatory projects that you'd find that in the beginning, you might have a spike in expenditure. In the middle, there might not be, and towards the end, you have another spike. So I would say that the challenges that ICASA has are mostly internal, and I think we are currently dealing with those. And the other questions I've seem to have lost. I don't know if the honorable member will mind repeating them.
Yeah, I think it relates to the development of local economies.
Okay. So in terms of the development of local economies, and you are saying that we should not take the fact that you have access as an indication that you are going to develop the local economy, isn't it?
Yes.
So the development of local economies has to do with the needs of the audience that you're trying to serve. If the product that you're selling is not selling, it doesn't matter whether or not you avail it at a cheap price. If it doesn't meet their needs, it doesn't meet their needs. And earlier on, I think I gave an example of load shedding. Load shedding is a pain in South Africa. And whatever application or whatever content that you develop that's going to assist people to be able to deal with load shedding, then you would have made headway in terms of the development of local economies. So it's not a matter of having, how do I put, social media type of applications. For the longevity of what you have to provide, it has to be something that talks to the issues that people deal with on an everyday basis. I think that would be my response in terms of the development of local economies.
Thank you. Honorable Mulala. What?
Yeah. Do I still have minutes?
Wow. I'm asking the minister that I'm confident that you are covered. You've heard your
time. I'm covered, Chair.
Yeah. Maybe just on my side, maybe just to follow up on the question raised and followed up by Honorable Mulala from Dr. Ndlozi. In relation to the policy on online letters, I think the question is really what recommendations, if you've ever made, in terms of what should be the policy going forward, which enables the regulator to be able to perform its task. I think that's why there are examples of Canada, probably Australia now, looking at those. So I think that's the question. Have you ever made any recommendations in relation to what should be policy change? Second one relates to competition that you mentioned. Roaming arrangements that have been left to be commercial arrangements and the regulator not playing a role. Do you think that has helped the market to change, in particular looking at 5G as a new entry? Would have benefited or not benefited from it? Those two questions, just to follow up.
Okay, I will start with the recommendations. My take would be that we need to broaden the definition of broadcasting to be able to include elements. As a CASA, we haven't touched this area altogether, but it would be my take of broadcasting such that we look beyond just content. I think there's this misconception that broadcasting is content, whereas broadcasting is a market in its own right. And I think as we dealt with subscription market,
subscription broadcasting, we're able to see that. I would take that we need to broaden the definition of broadcasting so that we don't focus on the unidirectional, bidirectional. We also take into account some of the activities that are happening online, especially in terms of the markets that are competing directly with the markets that we are dealing with. For instance, in the subscription market, at this point in time, we weren't able to establish that the likes of Netflix are impacting on vouchers. But with time, they will. And with time, there will be new services that are going to be free that will impact on SABC. And I just think that we need to broaden. The first thing we need to forget about the direction of the signal, but look at how you will be able to address issues around diversity, how you will be able to address issues around markets, and we need to look at the entire broadcasting value chain, moving from the content to the instruments that we use to access the broadcasting services. So it has to, there has to be a rethink in terms of how we define broadcasting. In 1998, it was easy. You only had radio, you only had analog TV. And the idea was that if you're able to interact with the signal, it's no longer broadcasting. However, history and developments have proved us otherwise. So that would be my recommendation. In terms of roaming agreements, at this point in time, there are commercial agreements. However, as part of the broadband market, we are looking into those. And based on our findings, then maybe we might make a recommendation of how to deal with roaming agreements. But I just think that we shouldn't pinpoint service providers, because some of the problems that service providers are encountering has to do with how they chose to implement their business model. And we have to be very careful as the regulator that we don't get involved in their business affairs. However, what I've noticed from the work that my team, if I can use the term, is doing around a mobile broadband, is that we are looking into roaming agreements as a way of how the market might be uncompetitively structured. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I think we have now got to the end of the interview, but I will give you this opportunity to do just your closing point. I think members would have asked the questions as expected and would have received answers from. But once again, thank you for making up time and interact with us.
Okay, thank you. I just want to really appreciate and thank the committee for giving me this opportunity. As you know that we can't predict life, and I'd actually given up on me being able to get this opportunity. And I think it's humanity that you enabled me to present myself in front of you. And for me, that's the greatest, regardless of the outcome of this interview. Having been given that opportunity, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the way that the interview proceeded. I'm very glad and I'm very happy that the committee is in touch with the issues that the regulator is dealing with. The questions were very, very, very challenging. I must just say that ICASA is a regulator. our duty is to ensure that we serve consumers first and foremost. And secondly, whatever that we implement has to talk to the national policy goals. I think it doesn't help that as an independent regulator, and independent talks about functional independence, it talks about financial independence, it talks about predictability, but as a national regulator, we should be able to contribute. And I think the way that ICASA responded to the COVID-19 is case in point in terms of how the regulator should always align itself with the national policies of the country. Thank you.
No, we thank you, ma'am. All other administrative-related questions would be handled through the secretariat that has been in touch with you in any way. As we said, this is a subcommittee that will report to the main committee, which is the portfolio of communications. Once again, thanks for making time. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable members, I'm sure they are back. Tembinkosi, are you back?
I am here, Chairperson.
All right. Remember, we also have this other meeting that we are running late on.
Yes,
I'm sure you have done the necessary things in terms of us completing this part. I take it that the candidate is no longer engaged now.
Yes, sir. She has left, Chair.
All right. Can I then, honourable members, just repeat what I said in the opening, that we may not have the time to engage in the discussion, and I take it that we do understand that the discussions need to be in such a way that they help us to emerge with recommendations that can be accepted by the committee. From what I understand to have been a proposed program, is that we'll be able to handle this in the next meeting, unless I'm not correct, Tembinkosi, as people were preparing the program.
All right, Chair. In relation to the ICASA Council vacancy, we are applying for a slot for Monday next week, same time. In order for the committee to then deliberate on the outcome of the interviews and then possibly consider and adopt a report of the committee for tabling to the National Assembly. So members will have about a week to go and through what transpired during the interviews, and then Monday we should be meeting then to finalize the ICASA Council appointments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Members, I think that's how we would address the matter. I'm leaving other matters to the whips of parties as they would have done previously. But the next session will be on Monday. And we just hope we'll get the slot for the time that we've asked for. And from there, would then report to Parliament the portfolio committee and the subcommittee, Tembinkosi, will be held on the same day, right?
Chair, we'll possibly have both, Chair. I will apply for both so that immediately after we've met and discussed as the subcommittee, then we move over to sit as a full committee.
Okay. Now, as long as we agree on that, please, honorable members, do make time again. Thanks once again. I do know that in the next meeting, which was meant to be for the MDDA process, political parties would have submitted other names for that purpose. In that score, those will be the ones that will be in that meeting. Otherwise, for now, I will ask if members want to make further comments that they want to make in relation to the process that we've just outlined. If not, at least we'll call it a day for this one, and interact in the way we've interacted. Any comments from members? Agree to the process. So Lisiba says it's fine. I can see the indication from, and I didn't know this name, Lisiba, you know. But I take it that others are fine. If they are fine, Tembinkosi will help us with the next meeting. The interview is concluded now. We've interviewed all candidates. Thanks once again for the understanding. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think Ms. Kubeka is trying to say something, but she's on mute.
Yes, I'm
mute your mic.
I'm fine now. Can we hear
Yes,
me?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just trying to check on the issue of the slot to say, as Tembinkosi is saying, it's for next week, Monday. Is it it's going to be the very same 2 hours, or are we going to be extended by another 1 hour? As you are saying, we are going to apply for both the subcommittee and the committee chair. That's my question. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I respond, Chair?
Yes,
yes. Respond. We're listening.
Honorable members, I think for Monday's meeting, we might only need an hour for both meetings. As you would know, that usually when we've met as a subcommittee, going to the committee, we often go to the committee with a unanimous agreement. So I will apply for 2 hours for both meetings, but yes, I will apply for 2 hours, 1 hour each meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, with that clarity, I take it that Honorable Van Damme and Honorable Dr. Ntuzi, too, here it's 1 hour to conclude the first discussion and then get to the next one where Honorable Ntuzi may not be sitting, unless it's a different arrangement.
I agree with you. I'm just worried that your name on the screen says Mutona Vuyoga, so I don't know if you have changed. You are married now.
I've just changed my surname.
Okay.
I'm joking. But then I used my personal phone because of the problem I had with the other one. So I'm sure you are clearer now.
Yeah, no, I'm clear.
Don't make any proposals. I'm still managing. Okay, we can now. I thought Honorable Van Damme was speaking.
Yeah, Chair. I just want to. Sorry, I don't know if I'm understanding correctly. So, for example, I will be dealing with ICASA, and then Honorable McKenzie will be dealing with MDDMA. So, are we meeting on Monday to finalize the names for ICASA, or are you talking about the MDDA? Sorry, I just wanted to be sure that I'm following.
Yeah, Honorable Van Damme, as you'd be aware, I think if we had time after completing this candidate, we should have a discussion as the subcommittee looking at the whole process and discuss the names, as you would be aware. At this point in time, we are unable to do that. So that first meeting of the subcommittee deals with us making the recommendations that must be adopted by the committee on the same day. So it's ICASA, not MDDA. So MDDA was to be the meeting that follows this interview. I'm still correct, Committee Secretary, support?
Yes, Chairperson, you are correct. MDDA will follow suit. So that discussion was merely based on the ICASA council vacancy. So we'll make decisions at MDDA for the way forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So, Honorable Van Damme, you are clear. But all I was saying, at least yourself and Honorable Ntuzi, just know that it's 1 hour to conclude the discussion. And
Chair,
I take it there will be discussions with whips outside of this so that you help the meeting.
Chair?
Who's the chair?
Chair?
Yes. Was that, is it honorable?
It's honorable.
All right, honorable.
I just wanted to say that honorable Saddam here is a very progressive country.
Okay, no, I'm not entering the generational issue because then those will also come in and remind me. So that he was also very progressive, stick to his questions and left it. In that scope, thanks, honorable members. Tembu goes help us with the next.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. If the members who sat for ICASA would like to continue sitting, I'm sure Chair would allow them to sit in. However, Chair, the following members are in attendance for the discussion on the short list of MGDA board candidates. That are the Chairperson, and then that would be Mr. Gumbu, Ms. Kubega, and Ms. Fago from the ANC, and then we have Mr. Vuyani Pambo of the EFF, and we have Mr. Cameron McKenzie from the DA, and Chairperson Ms. Madrozi also sits in this subcommittee. So her apology will stand for it as well.
So are we ready to start with that meeting?
Yes, yes, Chairperson, we are ready to start. Once you've done your opening and welcome the other members who just joined us, then you will indicate to me when can I flight the presentation that will be done by the content advisor, Mr. Mbombo Maleka.
Thank you, Tom Nkosi. Once again, let me welcome the honorable members who have joined us. In that score, I would not even waste time and just get to the point that this is also a subcommittee created by the political committee in terms of Rule 229, which allows the setting up of subcommittees. We are tasked with the appointment process for the MDDA board members. And therefore, today, this is our first formal meeting where we would receive a report, and that's what Tembinkosi called the presentation. We received the report in terms of what is the process that we need to follow, but as well as it should be a meeting to get an understanding now that the applications would have closed and whether we have a list that has been put together, including summarized CVs so that members, when they have the time for the next meeting, to look at what is available. So without waste of time, as I said, you're welcome. Who is going to make the presentation? Is it you, Ombo?
That would be Mr. Maleka. I'm just quickly trying to get it on the screen.
Okay. So please, flight the presentation.
I'm just almost there.
Good afternoon, honorable members. I hope you are safe at home. Mr. Ngoma, you're the one that's controlling the presentation, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we can move. I'll try not to take too much time. Most of the information is quite known by the members. But first, to just say that we are guided by the prescripts of the Act, of the MDDA Act. Section 4 of the Act talks to the number of members of the what constitutes the board, and that is 9 members. And as we know from Section 5B of the Act, 6 members must be appointed by the President on the recommendation of National Assembly. And of course, sticking to the principles of public participation in the nomination process, transparency and openness, as well as the publication of the short list of the candidates to be appointed. Section 5C talks to the 3 other members that should be appointed by the president, also taking into consideration Section 15, one of them must come from the commercial and print media, and the other another from the commercial broadcasting and media. And then the president is also mandated to appoint one of the members as the chairperson of the board. If we look at the current scenario at the MDDA as it stands, on the presidential appointees, we have Mr. Norman Muzerere, who's the current chairperson of the board, but has tentatively submitted his resignation, which has yet to be accepted by the president. So I'm just also putting a precaution to the current process that we're embarking on. We also have a representative of the print media, Mr. Mushweshe Munare, whose term will end in 2021. Mm-hmm. And then we have a government representative of Mr. Colin Mashile. And his term ends, I think, in 2022. Mm-hmm. We'll probably be able to see that in the next slide. In terms of the parliament appointees, we have only two, in Ms. Della Togna, whose term ends in October 2020, as well as Ms. and Dr. Nombeko Mbava, whose term also ends October 2020. Next slide, please, Mr. Long. So this is just the table that I tabulated format of what I was just explaining in terms of the current remaining board members. You can move to the next one. Next slide, Mr. Ngoma.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, on the things that the committee should note currently is that all five members are serving their first term on the MDDA board, and that, while there's been a little continuity on the board over the past few years, it's not necessarily a bad thing, given that, you know, as we will know, that for the past 8 or odd years, we've just had quite some challenges at the MDDA. In fact, to an extent that there's been recommendations by the committee to conduct an inquiry into the MDDA board. But because of the scheduling and stuff, that never really saw the day of light. The board quorum consists of five members of a 9-member board. And this has posed challenges in convening board meetings. To some extent, impacting
the
function as well as the.
Can't hear.
Can hear you?
Can
everyone else hear me? Oh, damn. I don't know what's going on.
You're better now.
Yeah,
can you hear me now? Is it better now? I think
it's a
poor connection issue. I see it's saying that also, yeah. Maybe I should turn off my video. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now can still hear you.
Oh, okay, perfect. So I'll continue then. Mem Kupega, can you hear me?
Honorable Kupega, can you hear?
Okay.
I hear other people talking.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who's
talking.
I'm
trying to call Mr. Pambo to tell him that he must mute when he's not talking.
Yeah, because there's someone talking. I think that's what's creating the problem.
Honorable Pambo, just mute your mic. Can you hear?
Fred, sorry, I was just requesting the member to try and mute when talking so that we don't hear the other things that he's discussing on the side. I'm sure Chair can proceed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ngoma. So I was still on the issue that the current board is quite balanced with the members, but to say that the parliament-appointed members are on a minority on the basis that we appoint the majority of the board members. So to say that there's four vacancies basically that we need to fill. That's not taking into consideration the other vacancies that will be filled by the president. So also what we need to consider is that the two remaining board members' terms will end in October 2020. So perhaps a consideration for the portfolio would be how to cast a wider pool so that we were able to accommodate and have a seamless continuity in terms of the new board members and the ones that we would have to have appointed by the end of the term of October 2020. So I think that we will need to figure out how we maneuver ourselves smartly so that we don't end up spending more resources to re-advertise for the two posts that will end in October 2020. Mr. Ngoma, next slide, please. Yeah, well, this slide, I think I will pass because I was just explaining basically how we got to where we are, and the members can independently look into this slide. Can you please go forward? I must kind of emphasize this particular slide to say that, for instance, in terms of the HR processes, they don't consider candidates who do not respond adequately to the advert. And I think Mr. Ngoma has, in the past, been able to explain to the members in terms of people who will apply for an internship, whereas the position was quite clearly advertised. And there is no policy in Parliament that talks to the number of candidates to be shortlisted for a position, but we have a standard a formula that we use as a committee and which the members can discuss afterwards. The qualifications check usually takes 3 to 5 days for local candidates, local qualifications, and 3 to 5 weeks for international qualifications. But as we know that with the COVID-19, I'm not sure how that will proceed, but we will have to take that into consideration once we proceed with the process. Qualifications will be verified with a contracted service provider to Parliament, and that's a process that HR deals with. And then consent forms will be sent to candidates immediately after the committee has completed its shortlisting process. Can we go to the next slide, please? Yeah, well, here we talk about it's the MDDA Act. I don't know if the chairperson would be comfortable if I just pass this part because it's mainly the prescripts of the Act. I don't think we want to regurgitate the purpose.
Can you hear
me? Yes, you can pass those. Yes, I can hear you, sir. Yeah, go ahead. Pass all the legislation. We'll get to the slide with the. Yes. You can stop here. So basically, here, Chair, I think I've presented something similar with the other appointment processes. But I'd like to remind the members that the process is quite an extensive process. So the shortlisting of itself basically is after the committee has decided on the number of candidates that it needs to shortlist, which will be the process flow process number B. Once we have done that, the resolution of the number of nominees. Then will be in the process C. That's when then we go through the process of public participation, ensuring that the public knows who are the shortlisted candidates, and the parliament processes thereof kick in, like the qualifications check and the security checks. And then process D will be looking at conducting the actual interviews, whereas in process E will be the resolution and the report on the final non-executive board members to be appointed. And of course, it also needs and if the resolution should be the process after that, and then the process. And I think in a nutshell, Chair, that's about it. There's a last slide, maybe, Mr. Ngoma, you want to flash to. Let me see if we're not missing. Yeah, basically, it just explains the shortlisting process inside in terms of the verification and the state security check. So I don't think that we need to pay too much attention. But clearly, we'll need to allocate some timing for ourselves, allocate ourselves enough timing before we can get to the resolve of the interviews, so to speak. I think that's about it, Mr. Ngoma, unless if I left anything out that you want to add. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Ngoma, if there's anything to add.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Mr. Malek has put it clearly. However, I would like to request that the committee that in its consideration of some of the matters that have been raised by Mr. Maleka, it knows that if it is to take a decision on the two candidates' terms that are coming to an end in October 2020, to run with this process, members should just be mindful that the two candidates, as the sitting board members of MDDA, had not applied, because they would not have applied for the current vacancies because they are currently serving as board members. I understand the challenges of advertising with high costs, but unfortunately they had not applied for this process, so might disadvantage them. Thank you, Chair. That's all I wanted to add. Further, I'll be directed by you, Chair.
Honorable members, I hope you can still hear. Connection issues now, but we do hear. I think the point really will be that maybe let's just get the sense of where we are on the application process so that we complete what talks to a presentation, and then we can make resolutions in terms of how we are moving forward.
Thank you, Chair. If I could just mention that in terms of applications, Chair, we have 127 candidates that have applied. The list has been prepared, as well as the summaries of the CVs of candidates. So we await direction from the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, that's the presentation. And as I said, there may be an issue of following up, but in terms of today's meeting, it was merely to get the briefing so that we are able to define the process going forward, having listened to the presentation. I will then allow members, if they want to make earlier comments at this point, before we actually drive away forward. May I just get an indication who wants to speak?
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I'm just checking if members would want to comment on the presentation made already, or should we just get to the way forward? Can you hear me?
Chairperson, I didn't get it clear on the number of candidates who have been, on the number of applications that they have been received. It was not clear as to whether it's 120 or 127. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, clarify that.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's 127 candidates applied, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Any other clarities, members?
May I go back, Chair?
Is there that I can't hear, nor do I see it. Okay, Honorable Kubega.
Yes, Chair. Mine is this one of, as they are trying to explain, based on these two candidates that they are saying they never managed to apply, whilst they are saying they are advising us, or we must take into consideration the processes also again for the advertisement to say it's going to be expensive. To say now, are we saying as they are not managed to apply? Are we closing for them for, outside those candidates or what, before I can elaborate further?
Tembingosi, I'm sure you'll be able to explain this part, because probably we may have not heard it the same. There are those that are to expire, but those would be board members, which then needed a process of application like we did, referral and so on, that there are these vacancies. So they were not vacant at the time. This arises from what Mr. Malika presented, that probably you may want to go with a bigger number looking at those that are expiring. So I'm just saying, just explain that, because it may not necessarily mean candidates that should have been on the 127 to make 129 necessarily. So can you just explain that?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members are just trying to provide clarity on some of the issues that are raised by Mr. Maleka, so that when you discuss and then you take that into consideration, that the two candidates whose terms are coming to an end in October 2020 would not have applied.
Correct you, the board members.
Yes, Chair, the board members. Thank you, Chair. The board members, the two board members, current board members, whose term is expiring in October 2020, would not have applied through this process because they are current board members. So I just provided clarity on that, so that if committee wants to discuss those vacancies, then it should take into consideration that it might be a bit tricky to include those two vacancies in this process, because that would then mean you would be excluding the two candidates as they had not applied, because in any way they could not apply because they are current sitting board members. That's what I was trying to raise. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I'm sure Honorable Kubeka, there's clarity now. Those relate to the current sitting board members.
Yes.
That they apply because they are already board members.
Yes.
Yes. So yes. I just want, because it helps us to make a decision.
Yes.
Yes.
So I think it will be part in our discussions, in order that we must see how it's best. Because at the moment they are still in their positions, actually. So now for future, when their terms expire in October 2020, are you saying what now should be done? Because now those vacancies, it needs to be filled in other way around. That's what you are saying.
Yeah, I think there's that understanding, but it needs the committee now to discuss how we need to move forward.
Right.
Any other member who wants to make earlier comments? Otherwise, we'll then have to just guide how we need to move forward.
I think, Chair, it's important that you guide us how we move forward.
Honorable Mackenzie, nice to see you back.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think we've been given very good guidance in terms of the positions of the two sitting board members, and clearly we can't prejudice them by having a process that excludes them from applying. So I agree with. I think we should follow the direction we've been given here, and let's have a separate process when those two vacancies happen, because they're filled at the moment. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think there is an understanding, committee members, that on that part we'll have to have the vacancies declared, and they will have to follow the same process that these other ones would have followed. But I think what's important now is for us to resolve on a few things. One, because the number is not determined as to how many people we need to shortlist. So this is the committee that must guide, like it has done with the other appointments before. Whether we'll still want to endorse 20 as a maximum number, that's one issue. The other issue we'd need to resolve on, and I'm sure Honorable Mackenzie would remember this one, it took us very long to deal with, is that at that time we had fewer people to deal with, and that's why we were able to do the qualification verification that took longer. And that's one issue we need to resolve, so that we are able to at least agree that we are going to focus on those that would have been shortlisted based on the number that would have agreed upon, whether that is the 20 or not. And probably the other issue would be with regards to the list of the 127. Yes. I take it that it's also got summarized CVs, and there would probably be arrangements, which I didn't get in the presentation, on having probably a link that if members would want a detailed CV, they are still able to access that information, which I think in a way it should help us to be able to apply our minds before the actual shortlisting. So that we do know who are we to shortlist, and members would have had an opportunity of looking at these candidates. Over and above that, there will be other processes of scrutiny by state security and all. But the list that we take out to publicize that this is the shortlisted, this is the shortlist. We should have satisfied ourselves that we had access to the list and the CVs and had an opportunity to apply our minds. I think thereafter, the way forward will really be a program for the subcommittee so that we know that the next session will now focus on the actual shortlisting. But we can't do that without having access to the list and how we can get detailed CVs. Mm-hmm. So I just thought the committee support may need come back on that, just to clarify us. But if members can just give an indication whether we'll still be happy with the 20 as the number that we are putting forward, and secondly, that we will not do qualification verification like it happened with the other appointments, but that we only look at those that have been shortlisted, and then continue with the process in that score. So that's, I think, the indication we need to get from members. Then it's easy to get to the actual program then. May I get an indication, members, on the number, so that at least it's on record, the number of people to interview? Is that Honorable Pam? Hello?
Hello, Honorable Gumbu.
Oh, is it Gumbu who wants to speak?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Yes, Honorable Gumbu.
Yeah, on the issue of the number of candidates to be interviewed, the one who will be shortlisting. I'll support the number of the maximum number of 20.
Okay, so any different view, Honorable Mackenzie?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Mackenzie?
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly, yes.
Thank you.
Honorable members, we do hear, isn't it?
I just in terms of consistency, and please excuse me if I'm speaking to information you already have. When you did the ICASA shortlist process, did you use a formula? So you said there are two vacancies and there are so many applicants, so we'll take it times five. You know, did you use that sort of formula? Because then just in terms of consistency, if you did, we could say the same thing for here. Do you know what I'm saying? Am I making myself clear?
No, you're clear.
So I just need an answer to that. But otherwise, you know, I would support that sort of thing. If there are only four vacancies, you know, let's apply a formula to it so we have consistency. Thank you, Chair.
I think at the time we would have agreed, but we're looking at five, we would have agreed on four, the vacancy, which led us to 20. Now, if you were to make it 20 now, it means we are talking to five. But if the committee feels that we keep it to four, then that would mean that it's a lesser number, of course, that would be 16. Part of that discussion, if you remember, with regard to increasing the number, was to be as inclusive as possible. and therefore 20 would easily fit in that mm-hmm. situation. We will in any way taking into account what has been presented to mm-hmm. us, we'll be able to get, I think, even on the shortlisting day, other matters that we may need to consider, like whether the gender situation is looked at, because those are things we looked at, the skills that are available within. So those would help mm-hmm. us in the mm-hmm. actual shortlisting process, mm-hmm. but it does help to have an agreement on the number. 20 may not be that big a number, but it may be quite mm-hmm. inclusive if you look at people who want to bring on board and be able to get candidates. So mm-hmm. if that is agreed, I think that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But I also take it that we mm-hmm. also agree mm-hmm. that unlike the other process, mm-hmm. that will mm-hmm. only focus on those that would have been shortlisted in terms of qualification verification, especially mm-hmm. under these conditions of COVID, mm-hmm. Where the timelines that we used to have may not mm-hmm. be that much.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who have also been on the ICASA process, we do know that with the international, it was quite a struggle, those who have got international qualifications. So it may be helpful to look at it from a point of those already considered for shortlisting. I take it that there's a sense of agreement on that. Can I take it as such, members? So if that is the case, then it then says that we will then need to get clarity, as I said. Are we having the list ready to be given to mm-hmm. members, including the link for members who want to see the detailed CVs? Mr. Mgom.
Thank you, Chairperson. The link and summary would be ready by tomorrow. It's just a matter of just making sure that I send you the correct information. However, the link to the actual CVs, I still need to liaise with IT and see how best can they assist under the circumstances in getting that on the on parliamentary Uvimba, what is called Uvimba, or if there are other means that they can create a folder, even if it's through Google Drive, that members can access the CVs. But I'm hoping that it's already after 6, probably from tomorrow, I will start those discussions with IT on how best they can assist me. You will see that I'm in office, so I'm able to access Parliament upon request from the Acting Secretary to Parliament. So if the need arises that I would need to come back here for that, then that's what we'll do, but that I will arrange with IT. But you should have at least a report back on that latest by Wednesday. So yes, Chair. But the summaries and the list is just, but actually the summaries, because the list is just a list of the candidates. The summaries, I just have to make sure that everything is aligned properly, and then should be available latest tomorrow.
Okay. I think we should agree. Then we'll have that by tomorrow, and will be briefed on Wednesday in relation to the link, whether we are able to access that or not. And if members agree, I take it that what we need now will probably to agree on the program so that you start making an application for a slot, as we also compete for slots with other committees.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you'd want to brief the subcommittee on that. Tembi?
Chair, as you just indicated, Chair, there's slots, there's about 3 slots a day, but I also aware that you can even meet in the evening. So my proposal, Chair, was that on the 11th of May, that is next week, as we'll be meeting, the subcommittee on ICASA to have that discussion. Then we meet, have that discussion with the hope that members would have also caucused and, like, you know, those engagement that often happen after the interviews, so that we don't prolong the meeting. And thereafter, Chair, we could possibly then shortlist for MDDA as well. On the same day, which is the 11th of May. After sharing the list, as we have indicated, tomorrow, and then we'll try and get members to have access to the full CVs on Wednesday. So I had looked at Monday, Chair, for the actual shortlist, which will then, Chairperson, be followed by interviews the following week. Members would have heard Mboss, you mentioned that we need about a week to verify local qualifications, and we need about 2 to 3 weeks to verify international qualifications. However, under the current circumstances, we don't know if that will really happen within those timelines. Hence, Chairperson, I was proposing to the committee that we proceed with the interviews the following week, which is the week of the 18th. The 18th and the 19th, I can apply for slots even in the evening, because we are allowed to sit between 6 and 9 in the evenings. So I was going to apply for those slots so that we proceed whilst we're verifying the qualification, but then we don't finalize the process. Because if we were to wait for the qualification verification, which we don't know right now if it will, how long it will take, then we might wait maybe forever or longer than maybe we would want to wait, Chairperson. And so hence I was proposing that on the 18th and the 19th in the evening of Monday and Tuesday after of the 18th and the 19th, then we can proceed to interview the candidates, and then we'll then wait for the other processes before we can proceed to make the recommendations. So that was what I was proposing, Chair, but it's open for discussion by the committee.
Members, any takers on the proposal? I think it does make sense given the circumstances. But
support,
can
it,
I
Chair.
Honorable Faku supports. Any different view?
No different view, yes.
No different view? Okay. So agreed. I wanted to be sure that Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Campbell, to agree that that's how we are proceeding.
18 and
19. Yes, but the shortlisting will be on next week.
On the 11th.
Yes.
On the 11th, yes. If we agree on that, I think we have a way forward now. We will then be briefed by the committee support in terms of whether those slots have been secured, so that we make ourselves available for those days. Is that agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you just make sure committee support we have those CVs by tomorrow, just summarized.
By tomorrow.
Yes, I will make sure, Chair. Just one thing, Chair, there's one member who has not really said a word. I just want to check if he is still, it shows here on my system that he is online. That would be Mr. Pambo, but I just maybe thought maybe if you could check if he was, you could hear us or as part of the meeting, but he is online.
Yes, but I was trying to get him and Honorable McKenzie to comment so that I'm sure that they also would have heard and they agree. Honorable Pambo,
so
are you able to follow?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
I've been following. It's my first sitting in the committee, so my silence is not necessarily that I'm not participating. I'm just listening.
So that you are with us.
I'm with you, my friend.
All right. No, thanks.
Thanks, Chair.
No, I think then we have agreed. That's great communication from yourself.
Mr. McKenzie wanted to say something, Chair.
Okay. Honorable McKenzie?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just noticed that my mic and my camera were muted. we are in support of the proposal as it stands. Thank you.
Then that takes us to almost the end of our, unless there is a matter you want to arrange with the committee. The committee supports that. No, I was just checking before we close whether there's any other matter you want to emphasize with members, whether agreed that will wait for you to communicate to us the slots that would have been agreed by Parliament, and we'll ready ourselves for that.
Yes, Chair. I think that we agree on everything that we discussed, Chair, and then we'll just act from our side, and we'll maintain constant communication, particularly with you, so that if there are any delays on anything, then we are able to communicate that to the rest of the committee members. But for the first meeting of this nature, it wasn't bad at all, Chairperson. That's all I can say. And I don't think, Chair, we should be coming back to these committee rooms here. especially us being the communications committee, Chair, so probably...
I would not say we would not be in the committee rooms, but at least some of the concerns that were there, that you have an entourage that must have sleeping arrangements. Sorry, that's my power off.
It's for IR.
I'm happy with everything, Chair.
Of course, you must wait until we say job well done.
Those issues, Ms. Fagu, we can discuss together with Mr. Pambo and Mr. Ndlozi.
Yeah, we are looking all right.
Chair, we're just waiting on you to perhaps adjourn or yeah. I think the chairperson, but he still appears online, but I'm not sure whether it's muted or what, but I don't think he can hear us. Hello, Chair.
Okay, I want to propose a vote of no confidence in the chair, and we can elect a new one.
I'm still available, Honorable Fat. I can see the chair has been stolen by, is it Mtuna or is it Vuyogazi?
That is the chairperson, Honorable Ma'am.
She must bring back our chair.
Yeah, I wish I had all these names.
I'm not sure how we're going to proceed. I'm not sure if it's probably the chairperson has a problem with the connection.
Can you try and call him?
Yeah, he's left. He's according to the system, he's left. I think probably there's a connection error, but Ms. Kubega.
Officially attend the meeting till the next meeting on the 11th on behalf of the chairperson.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Honorable members,
thank you long way.
So much.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Be safe.